The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What is up, Gypsy Gang, and welcome back to another episode of the Gypsy Tales podcast. And today we're in for our third installment of the Red Bull Ampol Racing quarterly report, this time with team driver Brock Feeney. It has been an epic sophomore year for the Queenslander with a win at the Sandown 500 endurance race. On this episode of the Quarterly Report, we talk becoming the youngest ever winner of the Sandown 500, racing alongside his idol Jamie Winkup, his Nan's hot lap of Bathurst, his 21st birthday celebrations, racing the GT World Challenge Asia for 2023, and an insane joyride with fellow Red Bull athlete Matt Hall. But before we get into the podcast, we need to give you a quick word from some of our sponsors. Now, fellas, can you smell the pumpkin spice in the air? If you haven't heard, it's Fresh Face Fall, and nobody else can give your face the love it needs other than our friends at Manscaped. The folks who changed Below the Belt are here to help with their brand new Handyman Electric Face Shaver, designed to give your face that smooth finish without the mess of a wet shave. It's the perfect tool for men with all beard lengths. Whether you're lining up your neckline or taking it all off to feel that autumn breeze, make sure you join the 9 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our exclusive offer. Head over to manscaped.com and use the code GypsyGang for 20% off and free shipping. Don't be a bad apple this year. Choose Manscaped. Now, obviously, run the beard on the pod, so got to kind of keep that thing squared and clean. But without Manscaped, that would be a whole lot harder. I literally have been running their Performance Package 4.0 for a while now, and every year their products evolve and they just get better and better. Your face is also the first thing people see when you walk through the door, so you should give them something to look at with Manscaped's Handyman. With the Handyman skin-safe technology to help reduce nicks and cuts, you can finally feel confident when going for that close shave. For wet or dry use, feel free to bring this anywhere and everywhere. The compact design and airplane friendliness make this the perfect travel tool for on the go. And for my fellas with a little more scruff like myself, Manscaped's Beard Hedger Pro Kit has everything you need to tame your mane. And I've been running that kit for a while now, and I absolutely love it. This features their signature beard hedger. This cordless trimmer has a rotary wheel that gives you 20 hair cutting lengths all with one guard. So no more messy drawers full of those extra add-ons, which we all hate and we just lose them anyway. That's right. Face grooming doesn't need to be hard. Get 20 different beard lengths in just one guard. The Beard Hedger is a high-tech piece of art in a travel-size package with long-lasting battery, universal charging, and a super strong motor. Trust me, boys, you can't go wrong with any of these options. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code GypsyGang at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. And use the code GypsyGang. We're also brought to you by our longtime friends at Boost Mobile, and now has never been a better time to switch to Boost. Why is that, might you ask? Well, last week there were nationwide outages on another network in Australia, and in the 5 years that I've been with Boost Mobile, I have never experienced such an outage. Secondly, Boost Mobile are gearing up for their biggest sale of the year right now over at boost.com.au for their Black Friday deals. you can save up to 15% on refurbished devices, which I've actually run for years now, as well as up to 65% off selected SIM cards. For example, you can get 260 gigabytes of data for just $250 on a 12-month paid upfront SIM card. Or if you aren't that data hungry, you can get 50 gig for just $12. The SIM sale ends on the 27th of November. Terms and conditions apply. To be on the full Telstra network with no lock-in contracts plus free shipping, you really can't go wrong with Boost Mobile. Head to boost.com.au to find out more. We're also brought to you by the team at Fist Handwear. You know, we are homies with that whole Fist crew. The makers of the best gloves for off-road. They also do some hybrid stuff. So if you're an on-road commuting kind of guy, hot weather, cold weather, normal weather, Fist Handwear has you covered. They also have some pretty epic socks as well. If you want to run the hands and feet in Fist when you ride, I have been running their long moto sock for years now. And I swear by it in the same way I swear by the gloves. If you want to get a pair for yourself, you can head to fisthandwear.com.au or fisthandwear.com. They ship whether you're in Australia, whether you're in the US, whether you're in Europe. So make sure you head to fisthandwear.com and use the code GypsyGang for 15% off. We are also brought to you by the team at Tropical Auto Group. And if you're in the market for a new or used car, then you cannot be buying anything without picking up the phone and calling Kyle. Now, Kyle has been keeping not only us moving, but countless other members of the Gypsy Gang for about the last 3 years. Tropical Auto Group in Rockhampton stocks Ford, Mitsubishi, Kia, Isuzu, and Great Wall. If you don't live in Rockhampton, that doesn't matter. It won't stop Kyle doing a killer deal for you. So make sure you head to tropicalauto.com, ask for Kyle, and you'll get a $500 gift voucher at MX Store with the purchase of a new or used car.
That's it from me. Enjoy this episode with Brock Feeney.
All right, Brock Feen is in the house for a third edition of our quarterly report with the Red Bull Ampol Racing team. Mate, flying solo in the studio today. Your teammates are all busy, but you've made the time, so thanks for coming in, mate.
Nah, thank you, mate. Good to see you again. It's been a while between episodes. Everyone's been pretty busy, but yeah, good to catch up and rewind on what's been a pretty hectic last couple of months, I suppose, not only for us, but for you as well.
Yeah, everyone's pretty busy. I think we're all, man, it's crazy to think that the year's almost done, man. Like, this is, we do the folders for the computer, like everything's in order, and I was typing out the date today. I'm like, wow, that is almost not cool that we're in November.
It's scary. I mean, all the Christmas decorations are starting to come up. It's that time of the year. It's, I mean, at the start of the year, it feels like it's ticking along nice, but the last, 3-4 months have just flown by. So, it's nearly over. I can't believe it.
What's your perspective on this year being in, like, I guess your second year full time? Like, you kind of, it's sort of routine, getting a bit more routine now, like, I'm sure you're starting to feel a bit more like a part of the furniture. Like, has it kind of felt like that as this season's gone on?
Yeah, it's definitely different to last year. I mean, last year was just about ticking the boxes, learning and doing all that stuff. And I'm still doing that. But at least now, I suppose I got a bit of structure and a bit of understanding on what to do. I've been to all the tracks now, so I know what I'm going to when I get there. But it's been good. I mean, the thing that I've enjoyed the most this year is being in the fight, where last year I was never really in the fight. I got one win at the end of the year, but I was sort of in the top 10 consistently, but I love rocking up to the track and you going there to win, and that mentality has been so awesome this year. So I'm very fortunate to be in the position that I was able to get some wins this year, and I love that. That's what we go racing for. It's what we want to do. So I've really enjoyed, being back in that position and having that mindset again.
What is it that changes when you're in the fight, so to speak?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying I wasn't in this mindset last year, but it was, it was a different goal at the end of last year. It was a different goal last year. It was about, it was about learning the ropes and, and understanding what I've got to do to I suppose be successful in this support. And it's just about learning. And this year, I suppose we kicked off pretty well, and we got a win at round two and on the podiums pretty early in the season. So from there on in, you know, you're thinking about how can we fight for this championship. And we got to within 20 points of the lead. Unfortunately, we fell off a bit and we're out of the championship hunt now. But to go through the year rocking up to weekends thinking, okay, let's go out and win some races, and we were able to do so at quite a few, was a lot of fun. And as someone that competes in sport, all you want to do is win. And when you have that mindset, I mean, you're pretty fired up all the time, and all you want to do is get to the next race. So I've really enjoyed it. I mean, I've got a great group of people behind me that allow me to do that, and it's been a lot of fun to get a couple of trophies this year.
Yeah, and I can imagine that, you know, that there's a big difference between going to the track, and I guess I always say there's a difference between thinking you can win and knowing that you can win.
Yep.
And it completely changes everything from the race weekend to, you know, the Monday after the races to every cycle that you do. And it's not that, like, I get it. It's not that you're not trying on all of those other times, but you just can't replace that actual knowledge of, hey, I've won these races and I know that every time I go to the track, I can win. And I think there's like probably just a different level of accountability that you feel. There's probably a different level of pressure from the team that you feel. And, you know, last year you could kind of go back on, not excuses, but you're like, ah, well, guys, like, it, you know, it is what it is. Like, we're learning, they're trying to grow with you. But I'm assuming now that just the expectations are just different.
Yeah, it has changed, and it sort of came to a reality at Sydney a few months back. It was a tough weekend for us, and in the last race, I just got pipped for third on the last lap and got fourth, and man, I was gutted. Like, I was so upset, and, you know, Mum was like to me, oh, imagine if this was 12 months ago, how stoked you would have been with P4.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, it's amazing how times change, but look, you got to approach every weekend, I suppose, the same, but, you know, there's certainly times where a fifth will feel like a win, and sometimes a second will be a kick in the guts. But you got to take that. But as I said, I've enjoyed it. I mean, getting the one at the end of last year certainly helped me, but being able to get a couple of wins at the start of this year certainly, you know, gave me that confidence that it wasn't a fluke, that we did have the pace to do it. So it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, man. No, it is cool. And like you said, it's what you go racing for, you know. Like, you spend your whole life in karts and you're competitive, and then you go through the development series and you're competitive, and it's like, you know, different levels, but the feeling's the same. Like, you want to win, you have the expectations, and you have the disappointments that come along with expectations, and, you know, now you're just replicating it at the highest level.
Yeah, it's all the same stuff. I mean, when I was racing for Australian Kart Championships, I mean, the pressure was maybe not... Well, I don't like to talk about pressure because I don't really like talking about it. I think it's a great thing that we get to be put through, and, you know, I love the feeling of rocking up on the grid, and you got a little bit of nerves before you take off. But I've been, fortunately enough, you know, I've been in that situation for a few years, you know, even back in go-karts when I was racing. I mean, you're fighting for a championship and the guy's starting next to you. It's not all sunshine at that time, but I've enjoyed it. It's been a pretty cool journey to be a part of, so.
No, it's awesome, dude. So last time we spoke, there was a lot of talk about cars and the new, you know, the new generation of cars. Has that chilled out a bit in everyone's mind, or... Is that still something that is kind of been a challenge to work with?
I think now we're at the point where, look, there's still talking about it, and they're actually taking two cars to America in a few weeks' time to do some wind tunnel testing with them. But car-wise, I mean, for sure, there's been some rocky ones in the last few, but I think everyone's sort of forgetting about it and getting on with it at the moment. I think... Yeah, there's been a couple of issues. I mean, we had a problem at Bathurst, but I think overall we're at the point where these are our cars. I mean, we're not going back. At the start of the year, everyone's like, oh, I wish it was like this in the old car. Now it's like, nah, this is our car. Let's get on with it and do what we can do.
Have you found any, I guess, positives with the new car? Like, as time's gone on and the development's gone on, like, is it? Have you, I guess, made friends with it in more ways than you thought you would be able to at the start of the season?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm enjoying it a lot more. And I always think back, if we went back to Newcastle now with the car that we've got and the experience that we've got, it'd be interesting to see how we compete against ourselves at the start of the year. It'd be real interesting. But I remember at the start, it was like, holy hell, like, this thing is wild. It was real hard work, and it was hard to feel, what was going on. But we're 10 months down the track now. I feel like we're in a pretty good spot with the cars, and us as drivers are used to it now and sort of understand what we're going to get. So it's been interesting. What we've learned in these 12 months has been pretty wild. So it's good. I'm liking these new cars. I mean, they're a lot of fun. It's shaken up the field massively. Super, I suppose, even. Everyone's got the same car. So it's been pretty interesting this year.
Yeah, it must be a bit of a relief too that it's sort of less of a topic and less of a talking point in a sense as well. I mean, I think it's cool when you get those new... I feel like it's the same in a lot of motorsports though, you know, like at F1, it's just all about the car when it changes, and I feel like the porpoising, you know what I mean? Like, you just hear the buzzword for the whole, and then everyone kind of gets on with it. It's probably a relief that it's less of a topic now for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, we're going through weekends without talking about it now, which is good. I tried to stay clear away from everything. I mean, I just wanted to focus on what I wanted to do and not worry about everything else. But yeah, there's always stuff going on behind the scenes that our teams are working through and trying to improve, and look, there's still a lot of improving to go through, but we've come such a long way from where we were when we last spoke to you.
Oh, that's sweet. So before we get too much further into the racing thing, officially 21 now, so you can go all around the world and hit the piss.
go to Vegas now.
Yeah, how was it turning 21? Just being, bit of a milestone. Did you do anything wild? I was pretty bummed I missed your party. It looked like a bit of a good one.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, I don't feel any different. I'm just a couple of days older, but no, it was good. We had a bit of a bash at home. I mean, I haven't had a party for a very, very long time, just because of racing, and I've never been home. But it was the week after Bathurst, so it was good in a way because I'd walked away from Bathurst pretty disappointed. So I got to focus on doing our house up for the party all week, so I got my mind off that. But to have everyone, I suppose all my family and friends at home and the crew from the team there, was pretty special. And the team gave me my winning bonnet from Sandown, all signed by the crew, so that was awesome. I mean, that's so cool. You always want something from your car, but I can't just walk up and take my bonnet. Yeah, so to get that as a gift was pretty special. And it's gonna go somewhere pretty special.
Oh, that's awesome. So yeah, I guess that was my segue into Sandown. You are the youngest driver ever to win Sandown, so you would have been 20 at the time. What was the race like? And I guess, is it cool to be breaking records? Like, I feel like you're kind of one of the guys that you really have broke a lot of, maybe not broken records, but you've definitely broken ground in the sport, just being that you're so young, driving for the premier team, straight out of the development category. So it's kind of cool that you kept that going in a sense by, you win Sandown, the youngest driver ever. It's got to be a pretty cool feeling.
Yeah, no, it is awesome. Obviously, you don't think about it at the time, about the record, but look, hopefully one day when I'm old and telling stories, it's something cool to reel off. But yeah, it was an awesome weekend. I mean, we rolled out real strong from first practice. I think we topped the first practice session, and the weekend was really solid. And man, Jamie, he was obviously partnered up with me that weekend. We were top two or three all weekend. I did a bad shootout lap, so we started fifth, but within 10 laps he was in the lead and pulling away from everyone. Man, it was unreal. It was one of the coolest things that I've been able to watch. And watching him do it in my car, the number 88, where he belongs, was so special. And I couldn't believe it, because the whole weekend all we were talking about was tyre deg, and you got to make the tyres last. And you know, we thought he'd just sort of settle into a groove and sort of stay where he was. But man, it took no time. He was putting on moves. It was so awesome. And I was sitting there very nervous. And then, he got to the lead and pulled away. And it set up for an awesome race. I mean, we had about a 5 second gap with 20 laps to go and was sort of, cruising on home nice and at a nice pace. And then there was a safety car that came out and I had Brody and Shane and Will, you know, right on me for the last 20 laps. So it made it pretty special to win at the time. And look, if the safety car didn't come out, I would have been stoked. You know what I mean? I would have got the win. But to win it under the pressure, the guys that I was fighting in the championship at the time was pretty special.
Man, it must be cool to watch Jamie do his thing, you know? Like, he was such a awesome champion for the sport, but he's just such a fucking good dude too, you know. Yeah. he's such a fun guy. I mean, I'm sure that Jamie, that's, you know, got the helmet on and in the garage all weekend on a race weekend like that's probably a little bit different to the retired fun Jamie Wincup that we're kind of, you know, that we're kind of more accustomed to. But it must be so sick to just see him go out and just do work in that way, and it's probably a epic experience for him, you know, like all of the his life's so much different now than when you're just being a racer full time. So for him to get out and like scratch that itch in a way and just do so well, it must have been pretty cool to watch.
Yeah, man, it was awesome. And look, I never really got to, I suppose I never got to race against Jamie, but like, this is like no joke, like a few years back, I'm watching him on the couch, like how good is this guy, you know what I mean? And fast forward a few years, he was co-driving with me at Sandown, and we won the Sandown 500. Like, I remember watching the 2019, which was the last 500, which he ended up winning with Craig.
Yeah.
And to watch the race, and you know, him and Shane were battling it out. Shane had a problem in the end, and Jamie won. But to think I watched the last 500, which he won, just no idea, never met him before, just a fan. And to do it with him, what was 4 years later, is pretty wild.
Oh man, he would have been like, him and Lounsey are probably your goats. You know, like everyone grows up in an era. Like for me in motocross, it's like Ricky Carmichael, James Stewart, Jeremy McGrath. Like you have these eras based on when you were born, like who was the man at the time, and like your era is J Dub and Lounsey.
Yeah, it's literally, yeah, it is. I mean, growing up, there's this photo I found on Gold Coast weekend. And in 2013, I think it was, I went to Gold Coast. I bought a Red Bull shirt and I was standing in front of the 88 car on the grid for the start of the race. And I found that photo. A friend that we went with sent it to me on the Gold Coast weekend. And it is so cool to think that I was just a little kid. Well, what would I have been 10 years ago? Yeah, I'd have been 11 years old 11, at the V8s watching it. And yeah, 10 years later, I'm racing it, and I got to win with the guy that I looked up to when I was younger. So it's crazy. It's crazy how the world works. But yeah, pretty fortunate to be in the position that I am.
Oh, and I mean, they say never meet your heroes, but there's some of them that you should definitely meet because they're awesome. And J-Dub's one of those dudes.
Yeah. No, I've enjoyed it. I mean, it's so fun hanging out with him. And look, I don't see him now as, you know, as a racer. I see him as a good mate of mine, and we're fortunate enough to go and race together on the weekends, which is pretty cool.
What's the most challenging part about the endurance races where you have to have a teammate?
Look, yeah, you gotta have someone that you can trust, but you need to make sure that, and you know, it's always the, everyone says the same thing as a co-driver. You got to hand back the car to the main driver, straight and clean and ready to go. That's a lot easier said than done. I mean, yeah. Sandown at Bathurst, you get to the first corner, Sandown's 500, Bathurst is 1,000K. It's so easy to get in a crash at the first corner, you know what I mean? But
yeah,
the older and more experienced guys really understand how easy it is to throw it away. And so to have someone like Jamie that, you know, you got full trust in, I know he's not going to go out and do anything stupid and cause chaos, makes it a lot better for me, because I can sit back and be a little bit more relaxed. I'm not saying I am relaxed, but yeah. You can chill out a little bit more and trust that you go your car's in good hands.
Is the car more... So it's like your car that weekend, essentially, because you're the main driver. But is there any compromise that you have to make on setup, or are you trying to take into account like Jamie's feedback, or what's the balance like there?
Yeah, so obviously, you know, sort of after Tail and Bend, which is around before, we're very fortunate that we're a very similar body shape. So we don't need to use a seat insert. So for, say, Richie and Shane, Richie has to put in an insert inside of Shane's seat, which is sort of like a booster seat, I suppose, so you can get a little bit higher. This year, the pedals move, though, so you don't really need to go closer. You just need to go higher. So me and Jamie don't have that, which makes a massive difference. Then, look, he jumps in the car. He picks up on 10 things straight away. You know what I mean? He's so good at that, and that's what I love about him. He jumps in. He's like, oh, why is that like that? Why is that like that? And it makes you think about it. And look, we rolled up to Sandown. There was changes, but only very, very little things. It was nothing major. I didn't have to be uncomfortable whatsoever. And we tried to make it so he wasn't uncomfortable. But we were pretty fortunate that, look, we tell the same thing on setup. So I was very good at Sandown and Bathurst. I was able to focus on the short runs for the car. So a little bit more qualifying. And J-Dub just did race runs all weekend. And look, when I got in on Sunday at Bathurst, I hadn't drove the race car yet. It was all off J-Dub, you know what I mean?
Wow.
And we're pretty fortunate that, you know, he tells good feedback and we talk the same lingo, because there's a lot of guys that, you know, drive the car different and it handles different for both guys. So it's pretty good that we got similar feelings from the car.
Does it feel weird to be like, hey, man, yeah, Jamie Wincup, one of the best V8 supercar drivers of all time. Just get used to my setup, bro.
Yeah, it's hard because obviously he gets in and wants it to be perfect for him, which is what I want as well. You know, I want him to be comfortable, but I'm sure he's not 100% perfect. I'm sure there'd be a couple of things that he would change and he's had to adapt to over the past, last 2 years that we've done it together. So, but he's been good. I feel like we've got to a place where we're both very comfortable in the car and it works out well.
Are you still like learning off him in a sense when, you know, you go into a weekend like that and you're actually seeing it as an opportunity to learn off a guy like that?
Yeah, always. I mean, I feel like I'm always learning off the people around me. I've got Shane every weekend. I'm going up against him and, you know, he's a teammate, so I can lean on him. And J-Dub, on those weekends, man, we learned so much. I learned so much off him. And before then as well, I mean, we spent a week on the coast doing some training and stuff like that. And just to see the mindset and the preparation that goes in beforehand, I never got to see it before I joined the team. So it's been good to see him in that racing mind. And I really enjoyed doing the process with him because it's so much fun. Like at Sandown a couple of weeks before, man, we were just having fun. Like we were training hard. We were preparing really well. We rocked up. The car felt great. It was just a good weekend and the result came with it.
Is that one of the best things about doing your job in a sense, is that when things are going right and you can just focus on training and driving, that it just makes life very simple and very fun?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you sort of talk about it. When you do get on a roll, some things sort of roll a little bit nicer. But yeah, it's good. I mean, when you're in a good spot, you know, you're competitive, you know, everything's sort of going right. You're just in a good spot. I think if you rock up to a race weekend and you're negative and you're thinking about other stuff, it's probably not going to work out as good as it could. So that was the best thing about that weekend. We rocked up super positive. We were feeling good. And the weekend just went with it. It just shows, like, you put in the work and the results, like, genuinely, they do come with it. You know what I mean? If you work hard, you do all the prep right, you're setting yourself up as best as possible.
Yeah, no, it's cool, man. I mean, even just for us, like, we just did the World Vets thing and we just had a full week of, like, riding every day, working on our bikes, changing things. You know, we had our mate Franco there that was, you know, making whatever changes we wanted on the bike and stuff. And it's just, like, it was such a look into, like, being a professional athlete in a sense, you know. And it's like, I think that that's probably so much of the fun that you have with your job, is that you just have the ability to just focus on getting better.
Yeah, it's so awesome. And look, it's a bit more challenging, I feel like, with us, because we don't get to drive so much. I mean, we do 12 yeah. races a year and 3 test days, but that's what makes it a challenge. And you know, on your weeks off, you got to figure out what's going to make you faster when you rock up in a few weeks' time. So that's the interesting thing that I've had to learn over the past 12 months. And honestly, I don't think there's a better man to learn off than J-Dub in that area. He was at the top of his game and all that sort of stuff. His prep was awesome. His training, he's super fit. So I've really enjoyed learning that off him and putting it to use.
Yeah. So going into, I guess, talking about Bathurst, what went right? What went wrong?
Yeah, I mean, everything was going right. Look, you qualified second. J-Dub got the start, driving away. We're in a great position, but early on in the race, just with how pit stops fell, we dropped behind the 97 car, but we had more fuel. So effectively, I think we were 8 seconds up the road. But yeah, then another safety car fell, and we had to stack early on in the day. So we sort of dropped back to 15-20. J-Dub fought all the way back up again. A few runs later, stack again. We fell back. J-Dub fought all the way back up again. And yeah, with about 20 laps to go, I think we were six seconds off Shane, and the gear tower broke, and that was all she wrote for Bathurst, unfortunately. So it was a man, you learn so much on those weekends. Like, we were P2 at the time. We were sort of in with a shot, and yeah, it all fell apart, unfortunately. But yeah, for about 4 or 5 laps before the tower broke, my gear lever kept getting stuck back. So every time I'd pull a gear, I'd have to push it back to the central position. It took me a while to figure it out, but I went down the straight and just flicked it back, and it got stuck. So I knew then that there was some sort of a problem, but yeah, a few laps later got stuck, and we came in, we got it fixed. We got some points in the end, but yeah, pretty tough to watch it slip away. But look, that's the cool thing about Bathurst. It's the biggest race. It's the best, but it's the hardest to win. So we'll go again next year and try and do it again.
Yeah, I feel like Bathurst, for someone like you, especially so early in your career, you're just forming this like long-term relationship yeah. with this racetrack and with the circuit and with everything that comes with it. So where are you at in your relationship with Bathurst? Is that just these few
yeah.
years in?
Look, you can say it's a love hate, but man, I love the joint. Like, it did hurt me last time, but honestly, all I want to do is just go back to Bathurst. Like, I absolutely love driving that track. It's so much fun, and I made the shootout this year. That's one of the coolest laps I've ever done in a car around there. But it's funny, after Bathurst, you know, everyone that I see now is still talking about it. Obviously, I'm trying to just move on from it. But far out, I would love to stood on the podium. You know what I mean? Like, everyone's like, oh, you got plenty of years to go. But yeah, I wish I could have done it. But anyway, as I said, I just can't wait to... I wish we could go 12 months in the future and I could go back to the 1,000 right now. But that's the best thing about the joint, is you only race there, you know, twice a year. We do 12-hour and 1,000, and it's what makes it so special.
Yeah, man. And I could just see that every year that you go adds like another chapter in that love-hate story, you know. And it's like, when you do get to stand on the podium of the win, it's like it's not like a standalone race, if that makes sense. It's not like yeah. you just won that one race. Like, every lap that you've done at that circuit, every race before, all the heartbreak, everything kind of goes into it. And I think that's why that track is so special and why that race is so special.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, the good one at that was Jamie. I came in, I was devastated, and he goes, hey mate, look, I've been in that position 10-12 times. It's happened to me plenty of times, and it probably won't be your last. But yeah, you got plenty of years to go. So yeah, he was good in that situation. He's been through it all before. But it is what makes that place so special. Look, I hope I do get to to stand on the top step there one day, that's one of the biggest ones that I want to do. So I'm sure it'll make me forget about last or this year.
Yeah, no, 100%. What's the hot lap like at Bathurst? Is that something like to send at that track with that wall, with the walls and how steep the hills are there? I mean, it must be different to every other racetrack.
Yeah, it is awesome. Like, I've made a few shootouts, but like, all you want to do is the Bathurst top 10 shootout. You know, that's the one everyone watches. It's the one where you just lay everything down. So yeah, we qualified fifth, and the cool thing is before the session, we get to set a reference lap in our dash. You know, so you get a target and it changes throughout the lap. It's live, it updates. So you want something good. And in qualifying, I did a 5.0, I think I did. And we're like, oh, they're like, what do you want to put in? I'm like, put in a 5.0. I'm gonna send it and we'll see what happens. The first guy went out and it was like a 2.062, and then it was like a 2.06 flat, and I'm like, oh no, like my time's way off. Like there's no chance. But Shane ended up doing a 4.9 a couple of runs before me, and then I'm like, holy crap, like I'm gonna have to beat my fastest lap of the weekend by a bit. And yeah, I come out of turn one and I was a 10th up, and I was like, yeah, we're on. And it was yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool. You're going over the top. You leave nothing on the table. I still got smoked for pole, but yeah, we got second. We got in a great spot, and it turned out to be pretty good because J-Dub led into turn one. So awesome, man. Like, as I said, that is the coolest track in the world. I love driving there, but to do a shootout there was so special. Like, I watch it every year and to be a part of it. And yeah, I was so pumped. Like, I felt like I did a really good lap, so I was pretty chuffed.
Is the nerves for the shootout, sitting there for the shootout, more than the nerves for the race?
No, I feel like I was more nervous at the start, and obviously you're not driving, so you're watching someone else do the start. So I was, you're watching J-Dub do it, and it's pretty nerve-wracking watching that. But look, for sure, you're pretty nervous before the start of it. I was just trying to relax and stay calm. But, you know, you roll up to the end of pit lane waiting to take off, and you're just sitting there for a minute, just going like, shit, this is happening, like I'm about to go out and do a shootout. But as soon as you drive out, you forget about everything else, and all you're thinking about is doing a good lap. And as soon as I got through turn one, it's the best I'd got through turn one all weekend. I'm like, thank God, like I haven't thrown it away yet. So we're on for a good lap, and it turned out to be all right. Yeah,
it's honestly a spectacle. Like the Bathurst shootout is just insane. Like the speeds are so crazy, that everyone's so close to the walls, and it's everyone's just on the limit. And I mean, there's something so obviously sick about the full grid going into turn one, and
yeah,
there's so much to the full field racing and the sound, but then there's also something like eerie about one car on that mountain. You know, it's one car driving past, there's no other sounds, and you know, just the crowd following you around for the entire lap. Like, it's such a, I don't know, it's such just like a surreal, like eerie kind of tension. And you know, they're so close over such a, obviously like a long distance, you know.
Yeah I'm nearly getting goosebumps thinking about, like, it's such a cool thing, man. Like, it's the, in supercars, I mean, Bathurst is our holy grail. Like, it is our coolest thing. You want to, you know, at the top of that is winning Bathurst, but doing a shootout, you know, you're flat out. You don't get to do that in a race. I mean, we were 4 seconds a lap off the pace of our shootout at the end of the race. Yeah. That's a big chunk. So when you're in the shootout, like, you got no fuel, you got the best tires, you got everyone watching. Like, oh, I was so pumped. Like, when I made it, I was pretty stoked. But then to go out and do a good lap, I was like, thank God I didn't throw it away. Like, it was so much fun. Like, I really loved it.
Oh, man. And just to be able to rise to that occasion, you know, and you get guys that were so good at that shit, like Scotty and SVG, you know, like J-Dub, Lounsey. Like, you get the dudes that are, like, just on point when it comes to that one lap. And I mean, it just sets up your weekend so huge. Like, literally the whole country's watching you. I mean, it's a pressure cooker situation. And you know, like, to be the kind of sick freak that likes that you know, like, that's pretty special.
It's cool. I mean, I was still remember watching Scotty was pretty good around Bathurst doing one lap. But I remember him talking about his reference lap, you know what I mean? He put in a big lap on his dash and he went out and did it. So, yeah, it's pretty cool to be in the situation where we can go and do one lap around Bathurst and, yeah, not throw it away at turn one.
So you took your nan on a hot lap too. How was that experience?
Yeah, it wasn't a shootout lap, but it was look, it wasn't as enjoyable as my shootout lap, but it was very, very close behind. So yeah, my nan turned 88 on the Thursday at Bathurst, so
Sick.
12 months back, she's like, I'm coming, you know, I'm turning 88, you're 88, it's meant to be. So she came down with my aunt. My whole family was down there. And very early on in the year at Tasmania, I spoke to Charlie from Supercars. And I said, hey, my nan's coming to Bathurst. I said, do you reckon there's any chance that we could organise a hot lap for her in one of the ride cars? And she said, yeah, leave it with me. And so we got it sorted out quite a while back. I didn't tell nan. And then GM got a hold of it and said, hey, you're doing this. Let's get you on a Corvette. So then they organised the Corvette. And then so it was on Friday afternoon straight after qualifying, so I was like, hopefully I make the shootout, so I'm in a good mood. But birthday Thursday night, we went out. I had to get her to fill out the indemnity form.
Yeah.
So I put it in her card and we're at dinner. She's opened her card and she's just pulled the form out and she's read the card, and on the card I write, for your present I'm going to take you for a hot lap tomorrow. And she didn't have her glasses on. So she's read the card. And she goes, oh, that's nice. Thanks, Brock. And everyone's like, everyone's filming her because they knew. And it was like, Nan, read the card. So Dad gave her her glasses. And yeah, she was so stoked. But like every time I see her, like she wants to talk about it. She absolutely loved it. So yeah, you're only allowed to do 130 Ks on the ride laps. But to take my 88-year-old Nan around Bathurst is very, very special. So it was, I can't thank everyone that made it happen, because it's pretty wild to think that I was able to do that.
Oh man, such a cool one-off experience to be able to give her a picture of what your world is, you know.
Yeah. So she used to go back to Bathurst, what would it have been 40, 45 years ago, to watch Dad race motorbikes around there, you know, back in the day. And he used to race there, and she's always got the memories of, you know, going there and watching Dad and hiding in the toilets because she didn't want to watch and all that. But yeah, she comes to a couple these days. It's obviously a little bit harder to get around, but the 88, all she wanted to do was come to Bathurst. So it was pretty special. And to do that and actually get her in a car was awesome.
Man, I can't even imagine how cool that was. And then you got to do a hot lap with Matt Hall.
Yeah. Now, that was one of the coolest experiences that I've ever done. I've had a pretty good few months when I realize I'm saying this stuff. yeah, that was after Tail and Bend. And the night before, I was going with Tom, our commercial manager from the team, and he sent me a video when J-Dub did it, and J-Dub threw up. So all night, I'm just like...
You're like, I'm spewing for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't normally get sick, but I was like scared. I'm like, oh my God. But that was so cool. I was just like laughing the whole time. Like, it was so enjoyable. We got up to 8G and my face nearly fell off. I looked about 150 years old. But on the Gold Coast as well, over, you know, through surface and all that, like, it's unreal.
Dude, that must have been a pretty epic experience. Like, how many, what's max G's that you'd hit at any circuit in a supercar?
Two or three, maybe.
Yes. So
when you're in control, it's not that bad. Like, I was like, yeah, mate, I'll be fine. Like, can't be that bad. We took off at 2G when we went up, and I'm like, holy crap. And when we did 4, I'm like, oh man, I don't think I'm going to be able to do 8. We did 6, and I'm like, oh, like, I'm not that flash, but we'll give it a go. And we did 8, and yeah, as I said, my face nearly fell off. If he went for another 5 seconds, I probably would have blacked out, but he stopped, really, which was good. But it's cool. Like, you try and tense up, but, you know, after a while, you go through the turn, and yeah, he flattened out, which was good.
So were you having to do, like, the fighter jet breathing sort of stuff? They run you through all that, or...?
He was just saying it's pretty much hold your breath and tense, I suppose. And he said try and keep the blood in your head. But he talks you, man, he's so good. He talks you through everything. So you know, every time we were about to do something, he'd let me know, he'd say, look out at the right wing, and then we'd twist or hold your breath, or he was awesome. So it was pretty cool to do that. I mean, Red Bull teed me up with him. We've been talking about it for a long time, but it was always around a race meeting. So straight after Tail and Ben, I said, you can go on Tuesday. I'm like, yep, no worries, I'll be there.
So, and what was the, like, was it just for you, or there was like a bit of an event sort of thing, or?
So it was after the Gold Coast Air Show. That was on the same weekend that we were racing. So Matt was in town for another few days. So myself and Tom from the team went out and went for a ride. So it was pretty awesome.
He's a full-on legend, that dude. Eh? Like, I'd love to get him on the podcast at some point, because he is crazy, crazy, crazy good.
Yeah. So I think it was the same day I had a super cheap function and he spoke that night. I had no idea. Like, he was full Top Gun. He was a teacher in Top Gun in the States. Like, he's world champion. He is unreal. Like, he'd be so cool to... I mean, if you got on with him, it'd be awesome. Like, the stories that he's got is out of control, and I had no idea. Like, I feel bad. Like, I've got along fantastic with him, and I always chatting to him and that, but I had no idea the level that he got to, and what he's done is awesome.
Oh, yeah, and... just think about, like, the amount of time you've put in a race car to get to the level that you're at, you know, like, now think about doing that in a plane.
Yeah.
it's so crazy to think about the work that it takes to do that sport in particular, and it's so dangerous.
Oh, mate, like, some of the stuff is out of control, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like what we do is pretty safe. I mean, we're in our own destiny, and they are to a point. But the stuff that he's been able to do in his life, I mean, not many people get to do that. So it was awesome. Like, now we take people for ride days. We had one yesterday, actually.
Yeah.
But, you know, people get out and they're like, oh my God, that was the best thing ever. You don't really appreciate it until you go and do it in someone else's. And when I went, which is, I suppose, the equivalent of doing a hot lap with Matt, I'm like, mate, this is the coolest thing I've done.
Yeah, that's awesome, bro. You have to do one on a superbike next time.
Now I'm scared about doing that, you know what I mean?
that will freak you out.
Yeah, that's why I don't want to do it.
I did it at the Bend with Millsy.
Yeah.
Going down that straight. I think we were doing like 287 down that straight.
See, I'd be worried doing it with him because I know he'd go crazy.
Oh, he said to me before, he's like, I'm fully prepared to crash. We went last. We went last, so that he's like, this is the last one of the weekend, right? And everyone's like, yeah, this is it. And he's like, cool, because I'm down to crash this bike. I was like, please don't, bro.
Yeah, no, it's cool. Look, I do want to do it eventually, but I'm not too sure right now.
All right, it's out in the universe now, so I'm sure that there's going to be someone that hears this and we can make that happen.
I'll wait a while.
Just go watch it, Philip, on. You'll get wrangled. Maybe get one of the Red Bull boys to take you for a lap.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I'm sure we'll do that one day.
It's cool when... I'm sure it'd be cool for you because you're at the pinnacle of your sport. You know, like, you're one of the top dudes, you're winning races, you're in contention for the championship. And it's like, you have that equivalent level of skill that Matt has or Jack has, you know, like, you've mastered your domain, and, you know, it's obviously a constant process. You're not done. But, you know, for you to be able to, I guess with that mastery comes almost like you wouldn't even know how good you are, in a sense. Like, it's very normal for you to just be that good at driving, and it's been this gradual process that you've worked on for your entire life. And then you get into a plane with, you know, a guy like Matt, and it's like it all comes rushing to you in one moment, just how good he is. But it's like, you're actually that good too.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that, but I know what you're saying. It's the coolest thing is, Matt, like, when you talk to these guys, so much relates and so much crosses over that you never really think about. I mean, anyone, I suppose, at the top of their sport is, you know, is unbelievable at what they're doing, and the end of the day, we're in one way or another, we're sort of all doing the same thing, just in a different sport. So when I sit down with Matt, when I sit down with Miller, with Doan, you know what I mean? Like, all these guys are doing it. Just, they're operating at such a high level, and it's so good to just talk to these guys and learn off what their life's like and what they get to do.
Yeah, man, I can imagine it's pretty awesome. So, when you then you get done with the GT, the Asia Cup stuff, like how is that experience this year, being in those cars?
Yeah, it's been awesome. I mean, what did I do? I think I did four in Asia this year. So I did Buriram in Thailand, two back-to-back in Japan at Suzuka and Motegi, which was awesome. That's cool. And then Sepang at the end of the year. So it's a lot of fun. I mean, I got to race on F1 and MotoGP tracks, and I've done a lot of laps on them on the sim, but to drive them in real life was cool. And to race the guys that I got to race over there, some of the best GT guys in the world, was awesome. So I loved it. I'm doing one more race the week after Adelaide. I fly back to Malaysia to do another GT race. So I'm enjoying it. I'm loving doing more races. We only do 12 supercar races this year, so to be able to drive more, I'm just trying to learn. Like our teammate over there is, we've had a couple this year, but is a Mercedes factory driver. So I'm going into their car, which they race every weekend, but it's the same thing as what we're just talking about. To learn off those guys is pretty awesome. So it's been a lot of fun. Hopefully I can do a bit more again next year.
What's the main takeaways for you?
How good they are in those cars. Look, when I talk to those guys, they're doing 30 race weekends a year and they're driving the exact same car. So they're doing 3-4 weekends in a row and they're jumping in, you know, with different teams, but same car every weekend. So for me, I rock up, I'm like, mate, I've just come out of my right-hand drive doing skids in a V8 supercar, and now I'm jumping in a car with ABS, traction ABS, control and everything.
Yeah,
it's got it all. So it's been a lot of fun, man. I've loved hanging out with them. I've become good mates with all those guys, and yeah, they're very good at what they do. I've enjoyed the challenge of it, of racing those guys, and for sure it's made me better, I think.
And I mean, is there anything that like, not translates, but you know, is there things that you can pull out of that experience that does help you? Because, and I'm sure just racing more helps, you know, like for guys here that maybe they only have the opportunity to race 12 times. Like, is it just the more racing, more looks at more tracks? Like, you have to, you know, cache more data in your brain, and you know, that is a positive thing? Or, you know, what are the advantages of it for you?
Yeah, it's all of that, honestly. It's the racing, it's driving a car more, it's going, you know, just that feeling of going racing. It's a feeling of going out on track qualifying, you've got one lap, yeah. You know. I think if you're in that situation more often than not, it's better.
Yeah.
So I've really enjoyed it. And as I said, the guys that are racing, man, they are fast. Like, I'm trying to tell them, come and have a skid in a supercar. Like, you guys are no joke. You're bloody really good. So I've really enjoyed going up against them and learning off those guys. Like, yeah, I wasn't as quick as those guys in those cars. So for me, I'm trying to learn off those guys to get better in the GT cars. And look, some of it does relate. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a race car. Yeah. So there's a lot of differences, but at the same time, I've taken a lot away, and the experience was the biggest part of it. So, yeah, I'm very fortunate. I mean, if I wasn't with 888, I probably wouldn't be doing this stuff. You know, I'm lucky that they've got a GT program and the boys allow me to come and drive with them. So I've really enjoyed doing it. And, yeah, hopefully I can keep doing a little bit more in the future.
Oh, yeah, man, it's so cool that you're getting the opportunity. And it's just, you know, you think about what makes people great in motorsports, and so much of it is just that experience, you know, like just they've done, like you talk about Lounsey and J-Dub, it's just like they've done a million races, you know, so it's like for you to be so young and just stacking up race experience globally, it's just, it's such a rad thing to kind of, you know, get in at this stage of your career.
Yeah, that's what it is. I mean, from last year, I feel like I'm in such a better spot because of the experience that I've got just from doing 12 months. So, look, I hope in 12 months' time, I look back and go, I don't recognize that, Brock, because I've got, you know, I've learned so much more. So, and I hope I keep doing that for the next 20 years, you know what I mean? Every year I look back and think that I'm better. I think yeah, you know, once you stop learning, you, I don't know. Hopefully I never get to that point.
Yeah. Have you got a favourite moment from the year for supercars this year? Like, obviously, you know, we're coming into Adelaide. The championship's probably out of reach for you at this point, but you've had some amazing races. Is there maybe a favourite moment, but something that you people wouldn't guess would maybe be the favourite moment?
I mean, Sandown's probably the obvious
pretty
one.
Pretty hard to beat, eh?
Yeah, I suppose one of the most enjoyable races I've had, when I won in Tasmania, I think I started sixth and we fought our way up to win that race. That was a cool one. I mean, I think most of my race wins have come, you know, just starting up front and I've been able to sort of get a good lead, but to come through the pack and win. I had a fun race at Melbourne. I think I started 21st and got to 8th or something. You know, there's a lot of little
hidden treasures
like that where you have a lot of fun along the way. But, yeah, man, winning's fun. You know what I mean? I love, yeah. You know, all my wins are pretty equally as good as the other. But, I've had a fun year. Like, I'm really enjoying what I'm doing. You know, every time I talk to someone, they go, "You enjoying it?" And I'm like, yeah, like, no joke, like, I'm loving what I'm doing, so hopefully we can just keep doing it.
I love it for you, bro. It's so cool to see. And so, thank you, mate. You got your teammate is heading off to the old US end of A to race a NASCAR. So, a couple little things we can kind of touch on here. First of all, how cool has it been watching one of your mates just crush it at life?
Yeah, like, I'm glad he's not here because I feel like I can talk about it freely now. But man, like he's unreal, and we've become good mates. Like, we've become real good mates, and it's just so awesome to see him. Like, I've probably never been so nervous in my life than I was when I watched him in Chicago coming through the pack. Like, I'm sitting there, I'm like, Dad, he's gonna win this race, and he's like 18. Yeah. Dad's like, oh, I'm not sure. I'm like, trust me. And to see him do that, and then go back at Indy and have another great weekend and just see, like, when he comes back, like, you can just tell that he loves it. And, yeah, you know, you know it's right for him because he comes back with a bigger smile. He's stoked. So I'm so stoked for him. He's going to do what he wants to do. I'm gutted at the same time that we're losing him because I love going up against him. I think he is one of the best. I think he's probably one of the best racers to ever do it. And look, at some point you could say not even supercars, you could say around the globe, he is at the top of the tree. Like, he is unreal, and I'm the guy next to him, so I'm pretty lucky to go up against him every weekend to learn off him. And I can't wait. Look, I want to come to the States next year and watch one of his races, hopefully. I'm just looking forward to seeing how he goes,
man. First of all, completely agree with everything you just said. The fans as well. Like, there were so many SVG fans at only his second race. There was people running the merch. There was people that flew over from Australia to watch him. Like, it just seemed like it's such a cool thing. You know, you can look at it as like, oh, Australia's losing their top driver. And, I mean, it's happened a bunch of times with, you know, Scotty Mack, and, you know, there's guys that have done it before. But it's like, when you see what he's done for supercars, you know, like, I feel like he really legitimized the current crop of drivers. And it's like, hey, this is one of our best. He doesn't just walk away from everyone in Australia. Like, there's good dudes that, you know, Brody went and did his thing. So it's like, I think it's really put a lot of eyeballs on Australia as a place where there's some really, really great race car drivers. And yeah, you know, he's in, he loves it. And it's really cool to see him get that opportunity and to just do so well at a completely new sport for him.
100%. I think he's opened the door massively. I think there's a lot of guys looking at it. I mean, Brody went over and did a race. He did awesome as well. There's guys looking at it, and I think he's opened the door, and it's pretty to go over and win. Like, let's not underestimate how unbelievable that is in that series, which is such high level. So I think when he did that, everyone's like, holy crap, like, this guy can drive, and he's racing in Oz. So I think it's opened the door, and look, let's hopefully he has a massively successful career over there, which I'm sure he will, and yeah, we'll see. I mean, there's people talking about it, so we'll see what happens in the future.
So I guess what does that do for you in 2024? Like, what's your role within the team, you know? Like, because he's the clear older, not a driver, but like he's like the team leader in that sense, you know? Like, you're not the rookie anymore, but you're the young kid that has been developed through the Red Bull program. He's the guy that's been there winning championships. He's the staple dude. He leaves, and like, do you feel like you have to fill that spot, or, you know, like, I guess how do you look at the 24 season now?
Yeah, I suppose it hasn't really looked too much towards it. We still got, you know, the next one to go, and then we'll think about next year. But I'm fortunate, you know, we got Will Brown coming in, who's a younger kid as well. You know, he's established though. He's got wins on the board. Look, I'm going to war with him in 2 weeks for the third in the championship. You know?
Yeah.
So we're battling each other at the moment. But look, the team wants to be at the top, and for sure that's the goal going forward. We're losing Shane. The plan is for me and Will to, you know, be able to take the fight for drivers and teams championship in the future. So I don't think anything's really going to change within the team. I don't think I'm going to have to look. I'm not going to have to tell Will anything. You know what I mean? He knows what to do. But I suppose early on in the year, you know, if we talk about experiences from last year, obviously I'll be the guy that knows as a team what we did. But I'm really looking forward to seeing Will's new aspect on everything. Obviously, he's coming from a different team. He hasn't been at Triple Eight before, so I'm sure he's going to come in with fresh ideas and just a different way of thinking, and I look forward to that. It's good to get a refresh of light from some different people, so it's going to be interesting. It's going to be really exciting.
Well, mate, I am very, very stoked for you. I'm very proud of you as a friend. You're one of the dudes. Like, one of the best parts about the podcast is I just always get to talk to people that are just doing great. And you're a guy that is doing awesome in what you've chosen to do. And I love to see when people live up to their potential. You know, and like you had so much potential as a junior and in the lower categories, and then, you know, you've come in and you've worked super hard these last few years, and you've more than delivered to your potential, and as a mate, it makes me very proud. So thanks for doing the potty again with us, mate, and I think we'll do, I guess, quarterly review means we've got one more of these to do by the end of the year, so maybe a little victory at Adelaide, and we can talk about all that. But for now, mate, thanks so much for doing it.
Nah, thank you, man, and good to see you killing it. Live it up in the US. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, brother.
See you, mate.